Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. It is always a privilege and an honor to share the word of God and just be in the house of God. Amen. I'm just excited that I can hear God's voice, and I can actually share what he is put on my spirit. Amen. And we're going to continue. Last week I talked on walk in newness. Everybody say walk in newness. I think it's very important as I think about the Bible, first of all, and then I'm going to pray. I think the important thing about God's word is that we can go back and revisit it. Amen. Just imagine if somebody told you what God's word was one time and you can't go back and you could turn me up. My voice is still kind of coming back. Yeah, I took Dad's mic instead. Nope. Okay, don't worry about it. Because I have to make sure it's recording. No, I'm fine. But I just thank God that he gives us the word that we can go back and revisit it. We can figure out what it means to be made new, because every day as believers, we are to walk in newness. Amen. We are supposed to walk in the newness that only Christ can give to us. So we're going to open up in his word. Last week we read from Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 26. But today I'm actually going to go and read Galatians chapter 5 right before that. And then we're going to read Galatians chapter 6 for today. But Heavenly Father, I just pray to God that you, first of all, will be glorified in what we do here tonight. God, I just pray to God that your word would speak to us, speak to our hearts, oh God. Help us to follow and adhere what you are saying tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We give your name all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so first of all, I'm going to open up with this scripture. This is a scripture that I'm working on memorizing. And in the new year, some of your new goals could be memorizing different scriptures, right? I was at my friend's house today, my friend Marvin. On certain doors in his house, he has certain scriptures. And I was like, hey, what made you put certain scriptures on the door? Because I like to hear, you know, what he said. He was like, man, I just feel like putting scriptures on the door. You know, and I was like, okay, praise the Lord. You know what I mean? That's a good thing. And what happens is if you keep seeing it, it starts to become something that you can memorize, and it can become something that's in your spirit. Amen. I think that's a key to memorizing scripture. It comes out of you faster, right? The more that you are studying something, the easier it becomes, or it comes to you, right? You ever had a test, and if you didn't study, you're like, oh, what is that word? What is that word? But if you study that word and you know that word, it's like, oh, man, I know that word. It's no problem for me. I'm going to bring it up. So the scripture that I want to base today on is, first of all, we talked about the Spirit of God helping us walk in newness. And this is a scripture I talked about last week, but I wanted to make sure I said it correctly. It was John chapter 16, verse 13. It says, however, somebody say, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. Now, John is specifically speaking about the Holy Spirit. Now, I really believe if we want to walk in newness in Christ, we have to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. How do we hear that? Well, first of all, the Spirit of God is not going to speak contrary to what the Word of God says. Amen? Because they are one in the same. When you think about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Jesus is the Word. If you actually look in the Bible, it says he's the Word in John chapter 1. You can go check that out. He is the Word, right? God is the one that speaks through his son the word, and then the Holy Spirit will bring back to remembrance what God said. So they're all tied in to this same word. Amen. So we're talking about walking in newness. And I think it's very important that if we want to walk in the newness of Christ, we have to know his spirit. And the way we get to know his spirit, once again, is to get into his word. One of my things that I'm pushing to do this year is to read the Bible all the way through. Again, this is not the first time I've read the Bible all the way through, but I'm actually reading it. This time it's kind of breaking it down into the different types of books that are in the Bible. There's the Pentateuch, which is called the Laws, from Genesis through Leviticus, I believe. Then you have major and minor prophets. You have poetry books. You have history books, and you have the gospel books. So every day in the thing that I'm reading, it's going to teach you one of those books. You're going to go through a few chapters like that. So I'm studying it a little bit different. So I'm getting Genesis 1 for one day, and the next day I come back, it's Genesis 2. But then I'm also reading other scriptures, and it says it's important to get all the food groups, kind of. You know, we're supposed to eat certain foods, right? As far as vegetables, you got to have vegetables. You got to have meat. The food, what is it called? The food pyramid, right? And it broke the Bible down like that in different parts that we can make sure that we are getting into our spirit. Amen? So that's something that I'm trying to do new this year as far as when it comes to reading the word is I just want to read it through again a different way. I always try to read through the Bible. I listen through the Bible. I just try to do anything I can to make sure God's word is getting into my spirit. There's times I drive and listen to scripture. Just let that play. And then Precious was listening to me today. I was like, "Ooh, man, I heard that. Oh, man, that was good," right? And she's like, "What's that?" "Oh, don't worry about it. I'm just listening to the Bible right now, okay? It ain't nothing jumped in front of the car, okay?" But we're talking about walking in newness. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Okay? It's talking about freedom. We have freedom, and don't go back to bondage. "Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become entangled from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision unveils anything, but faith working through love." Now, why did I go back here? We're still thinking about the Galatians and the people in Galatia, right? And Paul is the one that came and brought the gospel to them. Okay? Then what begins to happen is some people, if you actually go back and look in Galatians, I listened to the whole book of Galatians even on the way here. There were people that came and told them, no, you have to do this because we were taught from our elders. We were taught from our leaders. We were taught from these people that you must follow this law, right? Now, last week, you guys remember I talked about if we obey the Spirit of God, you will obey the law, okay? Because the Spirit, just like I said earlier, is going to lead you into all truth. The Spirit of God, Sister Jane, is not going to tell you to do something that's not in God's word, right? Now, when I say that, that doesn't mean he's not going to say, "Hey, go share my love with somebody." He might tell you to do that, but what I'm saying is he's not going to tell you to do something contrary to God's word. And what Paul is trying to tell them is you have liberty in Christ because of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God now is your training. It actually even talks about how before we had the Spirit of God, the law was what kept us in order. We didn't know what to do, so we had to have the law so we can be corrected. But when you have the Spirit now, the Spirit of God is indwelling inside of you, and he will teach you how to walk and follow the word of God. Amen. Now, let's keep on going. Verse 7 says, you ran well, but then he says, who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him, God, who calls you. A little leaven lumps the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whatever he is. All right, and I kind of look at this, and Paul is a little upset when he has to correct here. He was excited about their progress, but he's like, hold up. Something else has come in here, and we got to get it fixed. Verse 11 says, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased, or the offense of the cross has ceased. Now, what is he saying right there? Paul is saying that if it's just me being circumcised in this place, now, you know, women didn't really have to be circumcised like that, thank God, right? But brothers had to get circumcised, right? And so this is what they're talking about. And if we really back it up, Titus is with him, or Timothy is with him. One of them are with him. And they're saying, nah, he can't be with you guys because he is a Gentile, right? This is not supposed to work for him because he is not of the seed of Abraham, okay? So Paul is saying this because Paul was commissioned by God himself to go share the gospel with people that were not Israelites. They weren't called the Gentiles. So if we see the thing that Paul went through, when he starts sharing the word of God, he was persecuted by the house of God because they were like, no, it's not for them. And what began to happen is he actually went certain places and they wanted to fight him for it. They wanted to put him in jail for it because they're saying this is not for them. But Paul even talked with the disciples and said, hold up. What's the evidence of somebody that has given their life to God? If it's the Spirit of God coming upon them and them speaking in tongues and their life being transformed, I'm seeing the same thing. This is what he said. He said, I'm seeing the same thing amongst Gentiles. And the disciples blessed him and said, okay, yeah, if that's what's happening, then it's real. Amen. So we talk about the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God comes into your life, it should transform you. Right? You don't get saved. And then let me put these in church quotes because some people say, I'm saved. What does that look like? It means that the Spirit of God now lives in you. And now you are walking in a whole another way. You are walking in newness. As I read last week, as we read in the latter part of Galatians, it talked about walking in the Spirit. I'm going to read a little bit of that today again. But it talks about when you walk in the Spirit, you will not walk in the flesh. Before we had the Spirit of Christ, we were all walking in the flesh. Whether it was us doing this or doing that, maybe your flesh was a little different than my flesh, right? Maybe you liked, let's just put it in candy. I asked all the kids on the girls' basketball team, what candy do they like? Everybody likes different candy, right? Now, some people, I know ladies like chocolate a lot, right? My wife loves chocolate. Now, chocolate is cool. I like white chocolate every now and then, but I'm not a huge chocolate person. But if you give me some fruity candy, right, some Skittles, some Starp, oh, man, I'll be in trouble, right? Now, in a sense, that is my flesh, okay? Now, everybody doesn't like the fruity candies. Some people like the tart candies, right? Some people like this candy. Well, guess what? Your flesh like different things. And until you come into contact with the Spirit of God changes those things, so now you like what God likes, right? And it's going to talk about the war that goes on. Somebody say war. The war that goes on between the spirit and the flesh. There is a constant, when we talk about waking up and walking in newness, the spirit and flesh are going to fight every day. Somebody say every day. Why? Because you are still living in this world of flesh. The Bible says we live in this world, but we are not what? Of this world. Okay, so we live in this fleshly world, but there should be a difference because I'm not of this world. So when people say, hey, Keith, you want to come do da-da-da? Nah, I don't want to do that because that doesn't gratify the Spirit of God within me. That's why I do certain things that I do. Now, my wife, we went to somebody's house, and they were talking about, we actually came to their house it was for somebody's birthday a while back, and they had a virtual reality thing of some kind of horror or some scary thing, right? A haunted house. Now, listen up. I don't do haunted houses, okay? Because I know it's not a good spirit in there, okay? Now, some people be like, Keith, you're overboard. That's all right. That's all right. But when they did it and everybody else did it and they were like, Marquise and them guys didn't do it, it hit them in such a way that they went back and said, maybe we should watch what we're watching. Now, let me be clear. I can make a law that says you shouldn't watch these type of things. But guess what? If the Spirit of God doesn't bear witness in yourself, you're going to do what you want to do. That's why I don't tell people, hey, if you come to my house, there's certain things we don't watch, right? But I can't make a law of it and say, everybody that gets saved, you can't watch all these things. I want the Spirit of God to say that in within you, right? So when I'm watching certain things, even if I'm with somebody else, I'll be like, man, I ain't comfortable. Let me get on my phone. Let me get out of here. Hey, bro, can we watch something else, man? Hey, I heard a football game was on, and I'm missing a lot of action right now. What's up? You know? But the Spirit of God is the thing that has to lead each and every one of us so that it can stick. And there's a battle. It's a battle. But we have to watch it. Amen?
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Verse 11. And I'm going to read it again. It says, And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. And Paul, it's kind of funny. He really shows himself right here. Now, I don't know about you guys, if you remember, Paul used to be Saul. Saul was well-trained in the religion, right? He was well-trained. He was a leader. Matter of fact, he persecuted the church because, according to what they were taught, he thought that it did not line up with the word of God. So his job, somebody say job, his job was to go kill Christians, right? Some of the early leaders Saul killed, and many of them feared Saul. Matter of fact, if you see when he was transformed, when he went was on a road of, what's that road called? Damascus. He was on a road of Damascus, right? He had to be blinded. And when he went to Cornelius, Cornelius was like, wait, isn't this the guy that's trying to persecute the church? God, unless you clearly, now check this out. This is very important because he had to hear this from the Spirit of God, right? He said, unless you clearly tell me that I should go talk to this guy, I'm not going to talk to him. And the Spirit of God showed him, this is who I want you to talk to. He has accepted Christ. There is a change in him, right? So even after that, Cornelius said, hey, this guy saved. And many of them was like, wait. The same thing happened. I don't know, man. Saul, he's a little suspect. Maybe that's why Saul changed his name. Like, hey, man, I changed, right? I really changed. Now, somebody was talking about how Saul meant one thing and Paul meant another thing. We were watching a movie. And the S being changed to the P actually changed what his name meant drastically, which I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Just thinking, like, I don't know about you, but why would he change his name? Sometimes all the people, Peter didn't change his name when he started following Jesus, right? But Saul changed his name so it wouldn't be about him. Now it was all about Christ. Amen. Verse 13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Somebody say serve one another. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word." I like this because in the New Testament, it clearly lets you know what the, okay, if you want to follow the law, it says all the law can be cleared in this one word. And Jesus even said the same thing. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Then it says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I'm going to read through verse 18. Now, I read some of this last week. I just want to read the top part of this, and then we're going to go to Galatians chapter 6. It says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I talked about this earlier. "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to one another." Okay? "So that you do not do the things that you wish." Now, this is talking about an inward battle that is going on between the flesh and the Spirit. Okay? There's an inward, consistent battle that's going on between the flesh and the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is in us trying to correct us so we can obey God. But guess what? Once again, we still live in this world. And sometimes, unfortunately, we are of this world. There's things that God still has to clear in us so that we can be right. Well, he's made us right, but we still want to be right. We want to be perfected in him. Amen. So verse 18 says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Okay. Let's go to chapter 6. It says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespasses, you who are spiritual." Now, I like how it's kind of, it talked about the Spirit, but then it says, "you who are spiritual," which means that you must be operating in the Spirit. Okay? It's not somebody that just like, "Oh, God is good. I got a word from God." You know, that's not spiritual all the time. Okay? Everybody that walks and talks like they have the Spirit of God is not from the Spirit of God. We have to be clear on that. Okay? Is somebody that is in line with the Spirit of God. That's why you have to be careful about chasing certain ministers and pastors, because I just got to hear what God is saying through that person. Guess what? They're just a person. I'm just a person, right? Pastor Harold, my dad, he's just a person, but our job is to be led by the Spirit of God. So our job as leaders and ministers here is to make sure we are in tune with God's word and not sharing something that is contrary to God's word, right? I will not prophesy over somebody if God didn't tell me to say something. I'm not going to pray over somebody and say, "Man, God is telling you da-da-da-da," if God didn't tell me that, okay? Why? Because I don't want to share something contrary to the Spirit of God. All right, it says, "But you who are spiritual," if somebody is fallen, "you should restore such a one in the spirit." Somebody say, this is how you restore somebody, "in the spirit of gentleness." All right, "considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Now, unfortunately, the church has had a hard time of catching this part. When somebody falls into sin, sometimes we want to blast that person. Like, "Man, I can't stand that person. I'm going to let everybody know what this person has done. I'm going to destroy that person." Guess what? That's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God says you should restore such a person in the spirit of gentleness. Okay? Considering yourself so that you don't also be tempted. All right? Because sometimes when we are angry with somebody, I think what happens is that is not a godly anger. What begins to happen is you begin to think you're better than that person. And you can't think you're better than anybody in Christ. You have to realize that I am saved by grace. It is not by works, right? It is not by anything that I have done. So the Bible says so that no man can boast about it, right? It is the act of Christ coming to die on the cross and me accepting the message of Christ dying on the cross, the truth of him dying on the cross. And by me accepting that, I have been given his righteousness, right? When that happens, I don't have anything to boast about. So when somebody falls, we should restore them gently. It says again in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Catch that? When somebody gets haughty thinking they're the man, you're deceiving yourself. Verse 4 says, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who was taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Now, that's a scripture about, and I'm going to say this, I'm not saying this so you can pay me, but it does say that you should take care of the teacher that teaches you, okay? Some people are like, where is that in the Bible? It's there, but guess what? We believe as the body of Christ that what we do with the offerings is not just beneficial to the pastor, it is for the body of Christ. If there is somebody that is struggling in different financial areas and the church has a certain amount of money that is there, we're going to be like, hey, okay, does this make sense? Is this something that we should do? Okay, let's be a blessing, right? Because we are not called to hoard, which means keep things to ourselves. We are called to be a blessing. Amen. Verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption from his flesh. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, once again, we see that there's two things. You can continue to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, or you can walk in the flesh and fulfill the flesh lust, right? So if you start sowing into the Spirit, you're going to see the Spirit come forth, right? If you continue to sow in your flesh, you're going to see the flesh come forth, right? So what you are doing now is sowing. Somebody say sowing. You are sowing either to the flesh or to the Spirit. And if you are sowing to the Spirit, verse 9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now that's the thing that makes it difficult sometimes, is the waiting process. Right? My sister Erlene, she's a great cook, right? Some of the things that she cooks takes a long time, right? Right? Some of the best food that you are going to eat takes a very long time to prepare. Catch this. When you are sowing in the Spirit, even though it takes a long time, when you receive the reward, it's going to be a great reward. Because you have waited. Now I can look and say, man, God, I've been serving you for, I gave my life to God at 7. I told you guys last week. That was because I did not want nothing to do with hell. But at 12, I realized it was a relationship. So I'm going to say at 12, from 12 to now, I'm 34. That's 22 years, right? Thank you, Jesus. I've been living for God longer, right? And I really didn't have too much of a past, but I still wasn't a good person, right? I didn't do a whole bunch of things other people may have did, but I cannot try to justify myself according to what they did. I had to say, God, I still am in need of you. One thing I constantly say is, God, I need you. When I'm praying, Lord, I really need you, God. I can't do this thing by myself. Now, guess what? I think I was a pretty good person, but I know that good is not going to get me what God has for me. Good is not going to put me in a good place with God, right? Because the only thing that God recognizes as good is his son, Jesus Christ. And the only way I can have that goodness is by accepting him and saying, I need you, Jesus, right? So we should not and do not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now that's a scripture that we should get into our spirits. Keep on doing good. Even though it takes a while, Sister Unique, even though it might take a while, you might not feel like you're getting the rewards right away. Keep on doing good. Keep on honoring God. Keep on sowing to the Spirit. Now, see, this is the weird thing. The flesh will gratify you instantly because something was gratified. When you walk in the flesh, you may feel good about it. But there's times where you're going to walk in the Spirit and you're going to feel alone. You're going to feel like nobody cares about what you said. And you know, God, I love God and everything. But, you know, God is not always sitting right next to me, holding me like we might want him to, right? But he says, keep on doing good. You will reap in due season. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. This is a job that we have. Let us do good to all, especially of those in the household of the faith. Okay? So, I even look at that scripture. If there's two different people that I have the opportunity to bless, right? I look at this scripture, and it says, especially to those who are the household of the faith. It's kind of interesting, right? God wants us to be a blessing to those that are amongst us. Okay? That doesn't mean that we don't bless the people outside, but we must find who God wants us to be a blessing to. See with that, it says, verse 11, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as I desire to make good showing in the flesh, these will compel you to be circumcised, only that you may suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid, somebody say God forbid, that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision unveils anything, but a new creation, okay? God wants to make you a new creation. This is key. This is what we got to understand. God is in the habit of making people new, right? He's going to take you to a new place in him. As you accept him, he's saying, okay, now look, I got, let me help you with this thing, right? Because the Bible says that Jesus, he was tempted just like we were tempted. But it says that he overcame. So, and the Bible says if he overcame and we accept him, we can overcome. Be of good cheer, he says, I have overcome the world, so now that you can overcome. Amen? We look at that and we have to see, man, God, he wants to make us new. He wants to make us fresh and clean. Amen? Verse 16 says, and as many walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits. Amen. Amen. Okay. So as we read Galatians chapter 5 and 6, and you can go home, even read that some more. There is that constant battle when you become new. There's a new battle between the flesh and the spirit. Now, guess what? Back in the day, before you got saved, your battle was, in your mind, at least, you thought you had good ideas and bad ideas, right? But many times we went with whatever was going to make us feel good, whatever was going to make us happy, right? And there's good people, and there's obviously there's bad people. But when you get saved, it is not just your good thoughts anymore, right? See, when we think about the Spirit of God and walking in Him, and I'm closing on this, we do not walk around saying, oh, I can't go that way because I don't want God to be, please, let me not, because now we're thinking in our own mind. Let me not do that because, God, I just want Him to be happy. No, if we are living in the Spirit, we're saying, God, lead me. And as I walk, the Spirit of God will say, hey, don't go that way. I have a different way to take you, right? That's two different ways. I can walk, as my dad was saying, was being paranoid. I could be paranoid. Oh, I hope God is happy. God, let me not do this. Let me try. Oh, I got to go this way. Let me, you know, it's like, no, we don't walk like that because the Spirit of God is leading us. Amen. Once again, let me share that scripture in John 16:13. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will even tell you of things to come. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You to God for Your word that says that You have given Your Spirit to us, oh God. And I pray to God that we would walk and adhere to what Your Spirit says. Lead us and guide us in Your truth, oh God. Heavenly Father, I pray to God that You would allow this word to resonate in our spirits, oh God. Teach us even from what was read today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say, amen. Amen. If that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip up your hand. Praise the Lord. What we want to do is, the reason why I do that always, if you've been here and Sister Arlene, I always do that after every time I preach, because I want to make sure that God's Spirit is speaking to you guys from what He's sharing with me. Amen. And when we do that, it is now, when you raise your hand, that means you are willing to accept the challenge of obeying the word that God has put into you. Amen. So that's what we're doing. Tomorrow we will be back here at for service. It starts at 11 o'clock. We will be back and just ready to worship and praise. And forgive me, my voice is still gone. I got sick. What day was that? The 28th, I think, right, not too long after Christmas. And then my throat was gone. My voice was gone. I was coaching the kids at the Rainier Beach, and I went to practice, and after that I went straight to bed because I was like, man, I didn't have enough energy. So I feel much better, thank God, for anybody that was praying. But my voice is still kind of cracking in and out. So
we thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.